Many of us present here or listening to the broadcast of this service will remember the Holy Day offertory sermonette being given by someone from the regional office of the Worldwide Church of God or from the headquarters of the church. The speaker would tell us about the enormous numbers of booklets that were being distributed to the church membership, to co-workers, and also to those who were just interested in what the church had to say. He'd also tell us about the tremendous numbers of the Plain Truth magazine, the Good News, and also the World Tomorrow magazines that were being distributed globally. We might have even been informed of the number of pieces of mail actually handled by the correspondence department in Pasadena. And today, the church has been scattered, and it's nothing like the work that we once knew in sheer volume of numbers. There are now a number of offshoots from our former association, but I doubt if their magazines which they produce come anywhere near the numbers that were produced during the days when the church, Worldwide Church of God, was in its heyday under Mr. Armstrong. We all remember, well, those of us who have become somewhat ancient remember, hearing Mr. Armstrong and avidly reading the church publications edited or authored by him. However, the problem is they're all getting somewhat long in the tooth. And as I mentioned, some of us are even losing our teeth now. Many of us are now of retirement age, a time when nobody is prepared to employ us, a time when there is a deepening recession around the world so that even those who are actually employed are having difficulty in retaining their employment. Food costs are rising inexorably, as are all our other costs. And there is precious little left over from our monthly budgets. There is also the fact that the world, as many of us knew it, has long since disappeared. And what we now assume is normality is also on the wane. Nothing as we knew it when we were younger is as it is today. In Mark 13, Matthew 24 and Luke 21, we find a description of the world in which we live today. And we also find some words there which should genuinely inspire us. And as I introduce the offering today, many of you will wonder just exactly how does a church of God in Wales manage to spend the money which is donated to it? The ministry has to live, and where there's no other income, the church meets their costs and pays for their ministerial services. We also have to cover the numerous expenses which these men and others who undertake duties for the church incur. Then there is the church website, which requires constant monitoring. They get the sermons and the articles written by Mr. Armstrong, and they prepare them so that they can be loaded onto the website. And that takes a great deal of time. And also, that means that the website has to be constantly updated and monitored so that these words which are being put on the website can be cross-referenced and indexed. You get into Get Back on Track and you find a little search module. If you type in a word or a phrase in that module and click on it, you sit back and a split second later, before you had time to really comprehend what's going on, you'll find pages of references where the word or phrase that you're looking for comes up that's been spoken by Mr. Armstrong. Not only does a phrase come up or the word come up, but it also comes up in context, telling you where and when it was said or in what publication it appeared. That growing army of volunteers doing this work creates a problem for those who are actually looking after the website for us, because they have to put it up on the website to get these words there so that you and I and anybody else who's really interested in seeing what the Church of God of Wales is about can find out what Mr. Armstrong said. And virtually all the words are either up there now or very soon will be. The scripture which comes to mind in this particular context is found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 9. In these few words we find something that's been said of Mr. Armstrong for many, many years. We will turn there, if you don't mind, and we'll read what's said here. Because, you know, at one time we thought that Mr. Armstrong was going to be here until we actually saw the Church of God finish its physical work. But as we all know, Mr. Armstrong died 25 years ago. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9, we read the following. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that the Eternal Hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Here in this congregation we have, what, 23, 24 people? Yet this service is going out to the whole world. And anyone who cares to listen to it, wants to be part of this church at this end time, can hear these words right now. A day of small things? Really? It certainly is compared to when we were younger and we saw what the Church of God, the worldwide Church of God was doing in those days under Mr. Armstrong. A verse or two before, we would see in verse 6, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Eternal. And that is what is being done now. It's not by human might or human power that the words that we have of Mr. Armstrong going out to the world, it's by God's spirit, and it is he who is behind it. Mr. Armstrong was used to raise up the Philadelphia era of this church. Not only that, but he was used mightily by God to carry a warning message out to the world. The church has been shattered, but it is still here in this room and around the world. The feast this year will be held in Wales, in Kentucky, in Africa, and also in the Philippines. The hands that began this work all those years ago will be here finishing it. Maybe symbolically, but Mr. Armstrong's words are still going out. It is this service that we have been called to support, and it is being financed by our tithes and by our offerings. As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Armstrong carried the warning message to this world. He took the gospel of good news of the coming kingdom of God to heads of state, to world leaders, kings, emperors, presidents, men of high office in government, and to diplomats from just about every country on the face of this earth. Now we see the fulfillment of his work was actually the fulfillment of Matthew 24, verse 14. The gospel message of the coming kingdom of God has been taken to this world. And now we see in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, the time in which we live. We hear of wars and rumours of wars. We hear of famines and pestilence. We hear of religious deception and religious fanaticism. We hear of, I'll say, famine and disease, epidemics and death. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, either to Matthew 24, verse 34, Mark 13, verse 30, or Luke 21, verse 32. Because here we will find some words which are really comforting to us in this time. It is said that when it is said that when something is repeated in Scripture, it is done so for emphasis. But here, in this particular passage, it doesn't matter which one of these three you go to, whether it's Matthew 24 or Mark 13 or Luke 21, you'll find words which are virtually identical and all carry the same message. Now I will read from Matthew 24, verse 34. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Many of us here are approaching our 70 years. Some of us have exceeded that age. And there are those in the church now in their 90s. So these words that we just read here do carry a degree of importance for us all. Here is a cast iron bankable promise. This generation to which Mr. Armstrong preached will not pass away till all these things which have been prophesied have been accomplished. We are still here. We are still doing a work. And we are being measured to ensure that we will fit into that final scheme as ordained by our great Creator God in heaven. This is the autumn season at the end of the agricultural year in the Northern Hemisphere, and the harvest is about to be gathered. The promise is not that we'll be gathered to our fathers, our physical fathers, but that we'll be gathered together to our King and Saviour as he returns as spirit beings to rule with him on this earth. In this time, there is another commandment which is given to the church, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. And I'd like you to turn there, please. We'll read this passage. Pardon me. We'll read this passage because this is a commandment not only to us but to all mankind. That we are here and we are going to obey this commandment here today. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, we read the following passage. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God, in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. This commandment is to us in his church, and it is this which finances the work which we are doing at this time. And we will now take up the offering. And whilst this is being done, there will be offering music, which is Psalm 24, The Earth is Full and All is the Eternal's, to be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied on the piano by Mr. Jonathan Bowles.